Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is the new head baseball coach for the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns, Matt Deggs. Had quite a career before he came to Louisiana at Sam Houston State. Really guided the Bearcat baseball program, was the first program to make it to the NCAA Super Regionals that happened in 2017, and has won the Southland Conference on a number of occasions and turned out some great baseball players. We're going to talk about his career in coaching, also playing as well, and some of the philosophies and values that Coach Deggs holds dear to his heart. Coach, it's so great to have you on Blessed to Play.
Well, I appreciate it, Ron. Thanks for having me on, and appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, congratulations, first of all, on being named head coach for the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. But I know this was kind of bittersweet because your mentor for many years, in fact, you coached under him, Coach Tony Robichaud, passed away recently, and obviously heartbreaking for all involved. Not only guided that program and made it successful, but affected so many people in his lives, including the players and the coaches like yourself. Why don't you talk about your relationship with Coach Robichaud and how it affected you till this day?
Yeah, it's really something that can't be put into words. It's just been a crushing blow to so many. And, you start with his family and he's an incredible family man, and then players and coaches, and he meant so much to all of those guys, and then to a community and a region and a state. And, you can't really put into words the impact that Coach Rowe, made over his 25 years here in Lafayette and throughout his coaching career. And, he won over 1,000 games, but, he impacted, 10 times that amount, in a positive way. And so to lose a man like that, he was bigger than life, and you never think you're going to lose him. It's a gut punch and something that we're all, having to band together and stand up and rally around this family and this community and do our best to continue on what he built. And so Coach Robe was one of my best friends, and he also saved my life and helped put my family back together. And I owe him everything. And, the one thing that I say is I'm not going to let him down.
Well, let's talk about, you had a very emotional press conference when you took the job here at Louisiana. And I know the Robichaud family asked you to carry Coach's torch, per se. So this all happened rather quickly for you, being named the head coach and being quite successful in another program. But talk about the last couple of months, everything that has come to be, and it had to be a lot of emotions going into this for you as well.
Yeah, it's not something that I would have done had his family not been behind us. And, they're like our family. The two families are incredibly close, and we consider them family. We consider the Ragin' Cajun Nation family. And, it's a huge honor to be here. It's a dream job that I never dreamt of having, not one time. And especially not under these circumstances, but there's a job to do. And, they've asked us to do it, and we take a lot of pride, and it's a great honor for us.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Coach Matt Deggs, the new head coach of Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns right there in Lafayette, Louisiana. Well, let's talk about your love for the game of baseball. I know you play some pro baseball, but ever since you were a kid, was it your go-to sport, and how did you develop this passion over the course of the years?
I don't know. I was, from the time I could walk, I just loved to compete and loved to play any sport. I played every sport there was and my entire childhood and through high school, and, just loved to compete. I mean, if there was a kickball game, I'd be in the middle of it. And, you know, baseball was probably the sport I was best at and had the most natural ability and IQ for. And it was my first love, although I really, really loved football and loved basketball and all of them. I just loved to compete. And so I grew up playing every sport there was but really, really couldn't wait for baseball season every year.
Now, you grew up in the Lone Star State, so a very baseball-heavy state, especially recruiting. A lot of Major League Baseball prospects come out of Texas, the warm weather climate. And when did you decide that you want to coach? It's one thing to be a player, but to have that information, be able to process it, also be able to deal with people. When did you know you had the gift for that?
But, you know, really, I didn't. And I was still playing, and Rob Childress, who's the head coach at A&M now, I was still playing professionally, and he called me one day and said that there was an opening on the staff that he was on, and he would love for me to be a part of it. And you know, he said, you go take the GRE, and if you make a certain score, I think it was an 800 on the GRE, we can help pay for part of your grad school. And you know, I'd like to see you come down here and get your coaching career started. And he said, you're not going to make it in professional baseball. I can just promise you that. And so I do think you'd be a good head or a good coach. And I went and found a place to take the GRE, and it just so happened I made it exactly an 800. And I took that as a sign from the Lord that hey, I might want to get started in this coaching thing. And so finished out the season and went to Northwestern State and started coaching with Dave Van Horn and Rob Childress.
Well, what a progression you did have, and you wound up coaching at Texas A&M too, and then you get a head coaching gig. But let's talk about your time spent at Sam Houston State, where you had great success, NCAA tournament berths in two out of five seasons. That would be in 2016 and 17. And you claimed at least one conference title over four straight seasons. And coach, I always like to find out what the recipe is for winning. And I know you have philosophies to coaching and all that. So how would you boil it down to your recipe for success?
Well, you've got to surround yourself, number one, with loyal, hardworking coaches and that love to compete and get after it. And after that, you need to have what I call OKGs, our kind of guys. And you go out and you find players that fit your mold. And you coach them and you develop them and you know, you build them up and you have a definitive culture in place. And our culture is the pack way. It's a culture of overachievement. And I'm a firm believer that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And, you know, obviously you need to be talented, but when you can mix some talent with culture and then you have a lot of faith and you take action every day, all things are going to be possible. And, I firmly believe that we're in the business of second chances and in the business of the impossible. And we were able to do some pretty incredible things.
So when you're recruiting a respective student athlete, and obviously you have to have talent to play at the D1 level, but how much does character play a part of that? Or do you get an overall feel for the individual himself?
You know, I think character plays a big part in it. And I think you can measure some of that by looking at their transcripts, looking at their grades and watching them play. How do they play the game? How do they interact with their teammates? How do they interact with their parents? And I think all of those will be a big indicator of what that kid's made of. And so you need to be able to check those boxes for us. And you may know we're watching you or you may not, but we're constantly watching to see if you're an OKG and see if you fit our culture and what we do. And you've got to be able to fit inside of who we are and have a definitive job, duty, or function and be able to contribute to our success on a daily basis.
Bless to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Coach Matt Deggs, head coach at the University of Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns. And he's turned out some great ball players and has a good eye for talent. In fact, give us the Hunter Pence story, Coach. I know you you saw him back when he was in high school, but looking at that kid, you said, hey, this kid might be able to play at the next level.
Well, it was it's kind of a crazy story. I was it was probably 2001, and I was at an event in DFW, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I think I was in Arlington, as a matter of fact, and was at an event that was kind of slow, and a scout friend looked at me and said that he knew of a kid that was working out at a field across the street. Would I like to go watch him? And I said, sure. So I jumped in the car with him. We drove over to this high school that was across the street. I think it was Arlington High. And there was a kid working out, but he also had a friend with him. And I wasn't so much interested in the kid that we went over to see as much as his buddy that was with him. And it was this tall, gangly guy that could, you know, at the time was still not fully filled out or as athletic as he was going to be, but you could tell it was all in there, and his name was Hunter Pence. So I got to visiting with Hunter after they were working out, and I asked him if he'd like to come over to Texarkana Junior College, which was about 3 hours down the road, and work out for us. And so we set up a date, which was probably like a week later, for him to drive over. And the night before, his dad asked me, called and asked if he could bring a friend with him, and I said, sure. And so Hunter Pence shows up with a guy named Ryan Patterson, and they worked out for us at Texarkana Junior College. Neither one of them had a place to play yet, and it was getting pretty late, and school was about to start. So they worked out, and it took about 30 minutes, and I offered both of them a full scholarship, and one of them is going in on 12 years in the big leagues, and the other one's an LSU all-time team member. So that was a pretty good day for us.
That's great stuff. And it's also great for recruiting when a Major League Baseball All-Star in the future is going to just come right and meet you at the field and just fall right into your lap, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know anything about him. We showed up to watch the other kid, and Hunter happened to be there. And that's just kind of the way it went. And so Hunter was the hardest working kid I've ever coached. He hit the ball harder than anybody. He worked harder than anybody, and he was more driven than anybody I've ever had. And you can see why he is where he is, not to mention he has world-class ability and talent, and he's physical. But for all of those things, he's a better person and just has an unbelievable passion to succeed and play the game of baseball and play it the right way. And he's had a very fruitful and productive career. I think he's won a couple of World Series, been on a couple of All-Star teams, and just done some amazing things.
How hard is it at the Division I level, because you're obviously being judged on the success of your program, to maintain that competitive desire, drive, results, if you will, but yet still being able to affect these kids, because they are kids, they're student-athletes, and affect them on a very personal level?
Well, Ron, I think you've got to put it in perspective. And what's going to allow you to sleep at night, and what's going to allow you to look yourself in the mirror and know that you're bearing good fruit and that you're doing a really, really good job. And for me, that's first and foremost my relationships with my coaches and players. And I think, you can be result-oriented or you can be relational. And I choose to be relational. And the kids that we get in our program are not here because they can't play. I mean, if that was the case, you wouldn't make it through the door. They can all play. And some of them may have a little baggage with them, or some of them may not be developed as much as another one. But one thing that we can do is have a relationship with every single one of them, make sure that we're doing our job to develop them as men, well-rounded men, mind, body, and spirit, and develop them as baseball players. Make sure they're on track to graduate and win, and win championship rings together. And I think the relationships you build along the way, and the trust and the family that you build is going to supersede anything else that you do. And if you do it the right way and do it the right way long enough, you're going to get the results you're looking for anyway.
Faith in Action, how Coach defies odds and sets out and proves that nothing is impossible if you set your heart and mind to it. More with Coach Deggs when Blessed to Play returns after this.
Podcasting is an easy way to automatically receive your favorite EWTN programs on your mobile device. Visit EWTN.com/podcast. And enjoy your favorite EWTN shows on your mobile phone right now.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
A very wonderful woman I knew had 4 children, and all 4 died. And somebody went up to her one day, and they said, oh, what a pity. And she said, oh, no, what a blessing. If we don't begin to look at everything with the eyes of Jesus, you will become helpless and hopeless.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Coach Matt Deggs. It's just taken over the program for the Ragin' Cajuns for the University of Louisiana right there in Lafayette after a great career at Sam Houston State. We talked about all his accomplishments there, and now he's bringing his talent for coaching to guide the Ragin' Cajuns in his inaugural season, which will be upcoming here in 2020. But Coach is a very valued-centered person, individual. He takes those values with him to the baseball diamond. But I know, Coach, faith is an important part of your life. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, any successful person in my mind, and not success judged by earthly standards as much as by eternal standards, is going to be running on a full tank mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I think those are three boxes that you need to be able to check every day is how am I operating mentally, physically, and spiritually? And I think the most fruit that I've ever bared, I can attest that it's come from being on top of things mentally, physically, and spiritually. And the worst decisions I've ever made in my life are from running on an empty tank mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so I think those three things right there go into the man and being a well-rounded man that lives a life of balance that is able to bear a lot of fruit and make a big impact on those around them.
The players that are coming into your program, and they come from different families and backgrounds, how many of them would you say have a faith disposition, and how many of them are introduced to faith, maybe even for the first time through your embracing of it on the field of play?
I would say probably, there's not a number to put on it, but I would say at least three quarters, if not more, have some type of relationship with the Lord. And then there's another, set of guys that just have not been introduced to it. And, look, my job is not to change your mind. My job is to plant seeds and to inspire you to see that there's a better way through my daily actions and through my words and through our love and our encouragement. And, if we can do those things and put it in the Lord's hands, then I believe that he'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, I think players pick up, and having played myself, you could tell when a coach really cares for the individual and is not all about him or herself. And when the player sees that in a coach, it's cliche, but they'll run through a brick wall for that respective coach. But I want to talk about how faith impacts not only as you as a coach, but players on the field, because there has to be a discipline in a person who is faith-filled. Does this carry over with you into coaching in the decisions that you make and handling those everyday problems that come up during the course of a season and a year?
Certainly. I think you gain perspective and through your own experiences and just your own maturity as a man. I've lived both sides of this thing. I've been super transactional and what can I get and how can I get it and at all costs. And I've also in the last several years understood that a life of faith and sacrifice and obedience and service is a much more productive, fruitful way to live and has a bigger impact ultimately on those around you.
The game of baseball, and I've talked about this on the show, especially on the offensive side, is a game of failure. But you're dealing with young people who have to deal with failure. I mean, some of them are more successful than the others. But is that something that you have to really be the psychological mentor and the spiritual mentor to these student athletes when they're going through these times of adversity?
No doubt. I always say this, Ron, I'm 90% psychologist and 10% coach. And, so much of our game revolves around results. And when you can train your mind to stay off of the result and stay on to the process and just the embracing of the ups and downs and embracing the tough times, you're going to set a perspective that really allows you to excel and enjoy and cherish the good moments. And I tell them all the time, you know, results are temporary. They're very fleeting. They're going to up and leave you at a moment's notice. And if you live and play based off a result that is temporary, you're going to be an emotional roller coaster. You know, nobody's going to remember that you hit 380 as a junior. Only your mom and dad and you are going to remember that. But they will remember your love. They'll remember your sacrifice, your loyalty, your commitment. Those things are going to last forever. The result is temporary. Who you are as a man, that's forever. And so I truly believe if we spend more time developing the man and enhancing their ability as a player and having them understand that their identity is not derived by an outcome or a result, but rather who they are and how they go about their business, we're going to set those guys up for success down the road.
Now, listening to you, I think you take equal of satisfaction, if not greater. We talked about, you know, Blake Treinen and Hunter Pence, all these guys who have supreme talent. They make it to the major league level. But those players of yours that turned out to be good fathers, good husbands, productive in society, that has a special place in your heart as well.
Certainly. I mean, that's the end game, is to know that, you know, you raised your own family the right way. You were good by them, and that when the credits do ultimately roll, you know, at the end of the day, if you're watching a movie and at the end the credits roll and you see, you know, good dad, great husband, you know, unbelievable business owner, loyal friend, faithful servant, you see those things roll down the screen when it comes to your players, I think your job's done, and I think it's a job well done.
I want to get back to the game of baseball specifically, and at the major league level, we're seeing changes going on right before our very eyes. I think the term small ball is kind of obsolete, but we're seeing it very sexy now with the power numbers, OPS, players concerned about, you know, just driving the ball over the fence, RBIs. Even winning the batting title doesn't have as much prestige as it has in years past. Is this carrying over, or is there a domino effect going down levels, even to the Division I level, in the players' minds?
Oh, certainly. And, you know, it's the game has definitely changed. It's not the same game I played. It's not the same game that I coached for the majority of my career. It's evolving to high strikeout totals and big power numbers physicality, obviously, on both sides, and it's a little bit different. But if you really watch, and I love a good jack. You know, I'm all about the home run. I'm all about being able to punch somebody out, and when you have to, and I love those things. And those things are vital to a successful team. But I'm also a big believer in a well-rounded club and a club that can travel, so to speak, that can beat you with the wind blowing in or the wind blowing out, and can beat you in a variety of ways. And small ball is obsolete until it comes down to winning. And you watch even in the big leagues when the rubber meets the road and it's a moment of truth and who's going to be a champion or not, they're going to break out the bunt. That's the way it goes, and that's the way it's always been. So our job at the collegiate level, number one, is to develop. Number two is to win. And each university has hired a coach and a coaching staff to win and to win championships. And we want to be able to do that in a myriad of different ways and be able to do that in any conditions. And so you'll see our clubs be able to shorten the field. We can run, we're athletic, but you can also see us hit the ball out of the ballpark, be able to cut a 5-run lead, you know, in half and have some comeback power and then have some guys that can punch you out with a runner at third and less than two. I think all of those things are vital and important. I just like it when we can have a little bit of all of them and be a little more diverse and well-rounded.
And you're going from
this. I never want to paint us into a corner where we can only beat you one way.
Right. And it shows that you're adaptable, because I hear the term that this coach is old school or he's not, but it sounds like you have to be adaptable. And one of the adaptations is coming over from the Southland Conference to the Sun Belt Conference. And I know you did coach at Louisiana before, but is that a whole different set of acumen and different philosophies going into this different conference and how they play the game there?
I don't think so. I, uh, you know, the game doesn't change. It's Sunbelt is a good league, and the Southland is also a very underrated league. It's that Southland Conference is a dogfight. I've won an SEC championship. I've won 5 Big 12 championships, Sunbelt championship, Southland Conference championships. And, you know, one thing holds true is they still have to throw the ball to you. You still get a chance to hit it and field it and pick it up and throw it first. None of that changes. And so, you know, if the Astros hired me, I wouldn't change who I am and how we go about our business. And that's to recruit OKGs and sign position players that have speed and strength and good arm action or have some versatility, have bat speed, and love to compete and get after it. Get guys on the bump that are athletic, can locate a fastball to both sides of the plate, and have a pitch to put you in bed with. And so none of that changes. It's just a different uniform, different patch on your sleeve, and, you know, let's roll them up and go to work.
With everything out there, Coach, StatCast, all the analytics, I like the way you boil it down in simple fashion, because at the end of the day, that's how you play the game between the lines. Well, Coach Matt Deggs has been my guest, doing a great job and has done a great job at Sam Houston State, and now has taken his talents to the University of Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns. And I look forward to good things, good results coming from him right there in the Sun Belt Conference. Coach, thank you so much for talking about your career, but also the faith in you and all the philosophies that you hold dear to your heart and are transmitting that over to your players as well. I appreciate your time today right here on Blessed to Play.
Thanks, Ron. God bless you guys.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You could like us on Facebook, follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Coach Matt Deggs, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.